Welcome to the CEO.Digital Show. My name's Craig McCartney.
And I'm Darcy Thompson-Fields.
And this is an open exploration of technologies and trends straight from the C-suite.
You'll hear insights that will help you better deliver results for your company and its stakeholders now and in the future. You can find out more and stay up to date at CEO.Digital.
So Darcy, I missed out on another marketing podcast. Tell us all about the interview with Denise. What did you enjoy about it?
It was great to speak with Denise as a fellow marketer and one who's had so much experience across, you know, a wealth of different industries. It was particularly fascinating to hear about how she's kind of translating quite a traditional customer experience in, you know, a very B2B world of professional services onto a digital one and the marketing and IT alignments that are needed to get that going.
Wow. Sounds amazing, Darcy. I can't wait to listen to it. Let's go for it.
Yes, let's get into the episode. So today's guest is Denise Edgar, Head of Marketing at Clifford Chance. Denise has over 20 years' experience in pioneering digital marketing. Starting her career in the dot-com boom in the UK, she has worked across a variety of marketing disciplines. Her career spans a wealth of industries and two continents, with a resume including Royal Mail, Standard Bank, Nando's and more. Denise, welcome to the CEO.Digital Show.
Thanks, Darcy. It's really great to be here.
A pleasure to have you. Obviously, you know, we kind of talked about all of your career accolades in the intro, but could you just take us through sort of your career journey so far and any highlights?
Yeah, of course. I'm really fortunate that I've been able to work on a large variety of different brands and different sectors. So, you know, you mentioned, you know, working on it in the dot-coms in the early days of things when, you know, well, we were joking the other day when programmatic digital marketing was actually done on a spreadsheet. And now it's totally different in terms of how that all works to working on great British brands like Homebase and, you know, Royal Mail Group, Post Office, really, you know, fully entrenched, trusted brands. And then obviously, you know, a bit of time in South Africa where I worked on Nando's and Standard Bank. And again, just looking at things from a completely different perspective. And I think some of the key things that I've learned is that brands are not owned and driven solely by marketing departments. I think one of the key things for me is that, you know, it needs to be something that every single person within the organization feels passionate about. And that's when marketing really gets exciting, because it starts to live and breathe through the organization. And I think that's how I started to get really interested in the DNA and culture within organizations and how that links into brands. And I think, you know, that's become a bit of a thread through my career in terms of, you know, working on that sort of internal brand DNA kind of work at Nando's and taking that into my time at Investec and looking at, you know, what that meant for rebranding their private banking, to all the way through to looking at sort of codifying their DNA and culture within their corporate banking business. So, you know, it's a real passion of mine. And I think that's also now translated quite a lot into a lot of the digital transformation work that I'm doing, because I don't think you can do any digital transformation without thinking about what the impact is on all these different channels and how they need to link together and work together really well. So I think that's been a key thing for me. And I think one of the things that I always get so excited about with marketing is that, you know, often it's the people who make it so much fun, and it's the great people that you get to work with, whether it's creative minds or, you know, numbers people. It's just, there's always a whole group of people who are passionate about a similar outcome. And, you know, we get to have a lot of fun in our industry. And I think we're really lucky to be able to do that. And I think across all of my different roles, I've always been able to work in really amazing teams, the kind of teams that you can have fun with when things are going well, and the kind of teams that really support you and carry you when you need it most. And I think, you know, I think a lot of us have seen that recently during the pandemic, where, you know, our teams have really been there for us and helped us through some really sometimes challenging times. And I think that's been amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Denise. So tell us a little bit more about your role at Clifford Chance and what that entails.
So I've been at Clifford Chance for about 3 years now. I'm head of marketing, and really my role, it's a new role at Clifford Chance, and it's about really taking the lead of how we market ourselves externally, looking at, you know, all the different channels that are available to us, understanding how the importance of our brand, how that links into our purpose, you know, what that means from a cultural perspective, and really how we talk about ourselves externally. My main focus, however, during my time at Clifford Chance has been looking at our digital transformation and understanding how in a business-to-business sector, you need to translate quite a high-end face-to-face engagement into the digital space and what that means, and how we can translate it and make sure that that experience for clients is a really good one. And I think, you know, a lot of that is still about understanding how our clients use the channel, you know, what their expectations of the channel are, understanding the fact that, you know, they're 360-degree individuals. And even though they engage with us as an organization, they're still people. And we need to think of them as that, as, and not just as an organization, which I think is really important. So it's bringing those kinds of things together. And I think, you know, a lot of it is around tying these pieces together and making sure that our great reputation that we have as an organization is coming through in these different environments.
Yeah, I know it's obviously been, you know, such a challenge for many businesses like yourselves over the past couple of years. I mean, really kind of the past 5 years or so, to provide exceptional digital experiences and meet what we're facing as humans and as consumers every day. But that's, of course, been escalated over the past couple of years with, you know, all of our interactions with our customers forced to be remote and purely digital. I was wondering if you could touch on, Denise, how brand and digital transformation intersect within your role and within your priorities.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that it's, you know, if you do a digital transformation project and you don't consider how people within the organization engage with clients or who your clients are or what your organization does, then it just becomes a very one-dimensional project. And I think that could, it won't deliver the kind of experience that your clients require. And I think that's really where the brand and digital transformation intersect, because it is really important that when you are doing a big project like this, that you are considering, you know, what is the purpose? What is it that you want to actually achieve at the end of the project? Because that influences what kind of technology you choose. It influences, you know, how you make sure the different technologies talk together. You know, it influences the engagement that you have internally with people who will be using the different technologies. It influences everything from, you know, what kind of content you're going to need in those kinds of spaces. So I think for the two to work alongside each other is absolutely vital. And I don't think that they can work separately at all. So I think that's really how they connect. I think, you know, there's obviously the look and the feel and the visual identity of the brand and everything. But for me, that is an overlay of almost at the end. I think really it's about understanding the true sort of nitty-gritty of what makes the brand and what it means and how people live that on a day-to-day basis, and thinking about the implications of that in the digital space. That's really where we overlap.
Yeah, makes complete sense. And how do you see that translating to customer experience?
I think that the way our clients and, well, we've got a number of different sort of groups that engage with us in the digital space, whether it's, you know, our graduates who are hoping to work with us, or, you know, whether it's influencers or individuals who are interested in terms of our thought leadership that we produce around key things that are happening in the legal space, or clients or potential clients. So there's, you know, I mean, and those kinds of groups are not unusual for many different kinds of organizations. But I think that the client experience or the experience that they have is very different. I mean, even if you just contrast, you know, what a graduate to, you know, a non-graduate or sort of more of a lateral hire would want to experience in terms of their digital engagement. And I think really it's about thinking about, you know, what their needs are at that stage. And I think often what has happened in the past in business to business, and we're totally, we're doing exactly the same thing and we're still on a journey to fix this, is that often as an organization, you impose what you think people need or want in a digital channel. And actually, it's not about that. It's about understanding how they want to engage with you and what they're actually looking for. And I think that that's a very different way of doing things. And we've got, you know, we're on a journey to make that even better.
Fantastic. And I mean, thinking more generally about B2B digital experiences, as we touched on earlier, there is definitely this thinking and this evolution of thinking as to not, you know, focus on the business to business aspect of the experiences you're providing, you know, to think more like consumer brands in the respect that you are dealing with individuals, you're dealing with humans, and these are individuals that, like you said, you know, to varying degrees are used to high-end exceptional digital experiences. How are you matching this and approaching this at Clifford Chance?
I think it's all about helping people to understand that what we're dealing with is not separate to how people deal with everything else in their own lives. I think that's really important. I think, you know, historically, digital was always seen as a separate part, or maybe like an add-on, you know, or something that was, oh, it's marketing, but never really considered that it was actually probably part of the whole experience that a client was feeling, whether that was ongoing relationship building or, you know, information finding or whatever the case may be. It was never really thought of as a continuous thread. And I think that's changing, and it's changing really fast. Interestingly, I think in some ways, we're within business to business, I think we're able to see that, and we're looking to fix it. And I think in the B2B space, and in many respects, that's starting to separate, which I find really strange, because a lot of organizations now seem to have different digital businesses to their face-to-face businesses. So, you know, like some organizations will have different offers in retail versus what you can get online, which I find really weird. They're not taking advantage of the whole experience, whether that's in social, within the, you know, the web channels, or, you know, within, you know, client portals, or, you know, logged in spaces, etc. So I think we're in a unique position now to really make that a full circle and look to see how we can just make the whole thing feel a little bit more seamless for our clients.
Certainly, like you said, it is about offering that kind of, you know, full 360 degree experience and keeping it consistent. I know obviously at Clifford Chance, you really do focus on offering quite high end face-to-face client experiences and have done in the past. Are there any particular examples of how you've been able to kind of replicate that in the digital space?
I mean, obviously, like everyone, you know, during the pandemic, we had to switch from face-to-face client engagements or events to really making them digital and making those experiences feel like they were, you know, worthy of what an organization like us would have done in the past. And I think, you know, fortunately for us, we had a lot of the technology in place so we could do that. And it did, you know, continue to feel like something that would have come from Clifford Chance anyway. And I think that that's, you know, a real feather in our cap. And I think one of the nice things about it is that what we're seeing now is, even as we start to shift out of the pandemic, a lot of our engagements, we can see quite clearly what would be more suitable to stay in the digital space, or, you know, what is not suitable and what can actually, you know, go back into a face-to-face experience. And I think that is a real win after something like a pandemic, because it gives people the options of using technologies in a different way. And I think actually in some instances, you know, engaging with people you know, people have found different and unique ways of doing it. I was actually talking to one of my colleagues the other day, and he was saying, you know, often, you know, you would just automatically have gone for team drinks after work, but actually not everybody socializes in that way. And, you know, during the pandemic, there's been so many sort of different ways of doing things, from book clubs to, you know, bring your coffee and chats, you know, and all of these different kinds of things. And I think, you know, it's made us become innovative in the way we connect. And I think that's really cool from a digital perspective.
Absolutely. And are there any kind of particular client examples or case studies of, you know, where being able to provide these digital experiences has really benefited your customer engagement and the business in general?
Definitely. I mean, one of the ones that I would say is a real success for us is we did a perspective series across the whole of continental Europe around ESG, environment, social and governance. And in the past, you know, we would have had individuals going into a room listening to speakers. But actually what we've been able to do is we've been able to get a cross-European perspective from a number of different partners in different offices who are experts in a particular area and expose a whole region to that, which has been hugely successful for us. And I think even if we take that into a hybrid model going forward, that is something that we will continue to do because, you know, it's the ability to give clients a more regional or global perspective of what you can do as an organization. And helping them to connect in that way. And we've just had massively positive feedback around that. And I think, you know, that is, for me, a really good example of how we've been able to do that.
Yeah, fantastic. I think, you know, being able to, you know, reach so many different people with new experiences at the same time has definitely been such a benefit of that pivot. Going back to kind of COVID and first having to pivot to this digital experience model. I know obviously for a lot of businesses, it was a very, you know, rushed and responsive, reactive approach that needed to happen. What was your experience at Clifford Chance?
I think, you know, in many ways we were prepared. And I think, you know, we were really fortunate. We'd already completed our digital transformation. We had all of our technologies in place. I think one of the things that had to happen at pace was enabling people to feel comfortable that they could use the technology, specifically in the eventing space. And I think my events team were absolutely brilliant in this because if you think about it, you know, their role completely changed from doing in-person events to doing digital events and helping to train people to operate in these environments using these different technologies, getting speakers trained, testing things, you know, everyone working from home, broadband issues, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, how these things, you know, are just different. They operate in a different way. And, you know, ensuring that invitations still felt like they came from Clifford Chance and, you know, we were still able to track things in the same way. So I think, you know, there was a little bit of a learning curve around that. And I think there was a learning curve throughout the organization in terms of, you know, what this now meant. But I think the interesting thing around the pandemic, which is something that I just around humanity in general, I think, is, you know, everybody was willing to pull their weight and were willing to give things a try and were willing to make things work. And we're really passionate about doing that. And I think all of that led to things just really working well and trying new things and being much more innovative and collaborative. And I think collaboration has just been, you know, a theme for me that's come out of the pandemic in terms of people who maybe wouldn't necessarily have worked together in the past have now. And, you know, we've got some really good case studies of how that's operated well, whether it's across different groups within the organization or whether it's across technology and marketing or whatever the case may be. But, you know, we've all just had to work together to make things happen. And I think that's just been a hugely positive thing that we've taken out of it. And I don't think that we'll ever lose it. And I think that it will be a good thing for our organization going forward as well.
It's great to hear, you know, positive experiences and lessons like that that have come from, you know, what happens when we're forced to innovate and disrupt in the way that we work. And it's great as well to hear that obviously your employees, your team members really embraced that digital experience. I'm wondering if the same could be said for your customers, and also, you know, how this digital experience and this disruption applied itself to the professional services client journey.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one because I think that clients were, in many ways, what started to happen was what we could certainly see was where people were getting fatigue, digital fatigue during the lockdowns because they were on screens constantly. They were online constantly. If they had to have any engagements, it was through the digital space. So there was definitely starting to get some of that fatigue. And I think what we took from that is that we needed to make sure that when we did want to have any engagement or any content that we did create was really relevant. And then what we saw was if we did put in the effort to make sure that the content was really relevant or the engagement was actually really purposeful, we could see a huge increase in terms of how the response to that, so whether that was, you know, within our client portal or our website sort of engagement or readership of certain articles or, you know, attendance of certain events or feedback around events, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that became a key theme is, you know, understanding how your clients are feeling and then responding to that and making sure that you are having meaningful connections in the time that you do have with them.
Absolutely. And I think we're still seeing the effects of that sort of digital fatigue. You know, we're all challenged as brands with ensuring that we're getting the right content out to, you know, very overly saturated markets. So I think there's a great lesson in that. Like you said, like, you know, actually monitoring, listening and responding. It's going back to that human angle, isn't it? And understanding your customers and your prospects and what they're engaging with. You mentioned kind of as we started to talk about the COVID pandemic that actually you were in quite a fortunate position. You felt you were well set up to respond to, you know, more of a kind of digital client journey. So I was wondering, you know, how you ensured that you had the right technology stack to drive those digital experiences and, you know, how you went about building that.
I think we were really fortunate, in all honesty. I think that, you know, we had no idea, obviously, that the pandemic was going to come our way. I think what we had been planning for was actually looking at how we could better utilize digital channels in engagement with clients, whether it's on the journey to becoming clients or whether it's the ongoing relationship that we have with them. And, you know, that meant that we needed to really change the way our technology stack was set up. You know, it was all in silos. None of the technology was talking to each other. A lot of it was old technology that hadn't been updated in many years. And that really needed to be revamped. And it was purely around making sure that we had the right technology in place to, you know, do the sort of basics that a lot of other organizations already, you know, a lot of banks, a lot of, you know, other sort of B2B really great marketing players and have got in place. And we wanted to, you know, do that in our space. And I think that when the pandemic hit, it actually meant that there was a faster need for this technology and a much faster, you know, realization that we actually do rely on this space and we need to continually invest in it, which has been, again, a really great opportunity for us within the marketing team because we've been able to say, okay, well, you know, what are the next steps? Because investment in digital technology doesn't stop. You know, you've got to invest in making sure you've got the right skill set to use the technology. You've got to make sure that you've got the right content. You've got to make sure that you've got understand the right client journeys. You've got to think about all of these different things. And then you've got to go and say, okay, well, you know, what is the next evolution around this, and how do we continue to make this better? And I think that that's the other thing that the pandemic allowed us to do, is to sort of educate the organization around the fact that, you know, this is an organic process, and, you know, it needs constant investment. It's not a one-hit wonder.
Absolutely. I mean, how did you go about educating both, you know, your employees and customers, you know, on this technology, you know, the use of it, both, you know, from the actual kind of customer experience front, and then also from within your organization?
You know, I think from a client perspective, it's about making them aware that these things are available to them. You know, testing and learning, getting feedback, working with, you know, our client-facing team members and making sure that they're aware of what we're doing, that they can talk to clients about it. I think those are the main things. I think in terms of educating an organization, this is where, you know, your numbers and your case studies and your objectives are so important. And I think one of the things that I've learned at this organization is that you've got to be able to tell a simple story, and you've got to be able to demonstrate how that story delivers, and, you know, what is happening along each different step within it, and enable, you know, others to understand and talk about it as well in different environments. Because I think so often we fall into the trap of talking in, you know, jargon that doesn't make sense to anyone else. And I think it's so important that people understand what they're investing in and what they're going to get out of it. And it's simple things like explaining to people that actually, you know, if you don't have a CRM system that is easy to use and easy to understand, people won't populate it. And when you would never call somebody by the wrong pronoun or name to their face, what happens is that that could happen in a digital environment, and how embarrassing. So, you know, we need to make sure that, and it's just using simple stories like that, that really help people to understand the importance of it. And I think it's, you know, when you see people slowly start to understand how it can add value, and you can see how it's adding value to the organization, it's such a rewarding feeling, and it's really exciting. And it's a great thing to be part of.
Yeah, definitely. As you're so right, you know, it's necessary to support those experiences, not just for your customers, but also offering a great employee experience as well, and keeping your teams engaged, especially as we are distributed and working remotely. As you mentioned earlier, technology is not just a one-off investment. It is continuous. And, you know, it can be hard to gain the boardroom buy-in that you need. So I was just wondering if you had any advice or top tips for our listeners for putting together a business case for digital transformation.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key thing is not pretending that you're the expert in everything. You know, I think you've got to be really honest with yourself and understanding where your expertise do come in, and build a really great functioning team around yourself. So, you know, when I was going through this whole process, I had the most amazing project manager, because my brain does not work in that way. You know, you need somebody who is just really skilled in that space. And then I also work extremely closely with my technology partner, Anthony Vigneron at Clifford Chance. And, you know, we are totally aligned in terms of, you know, what I need from the technology side of things. And he understands, you know, what we need from a marketing perspective, so that he can advise on those two things. And together, we have really worked closely to make sure that we can talk to various different groups, whether it's finance, whether it's our board, whether it's, you know, any different part of the organization, so that he can speak, you know, in the technology language, and I can speak around marketing and what it's going to do for us in that space. And I think that that's been hugely beneficial for everybody involved, because, you know, you get the right information at the right time. And I think the other thing is that we also had a project board who worked really closely around the whole sort of program and understanding, you know, whether there were going to be any issues around finance or, you know, things taking time. And we were all really sort of agile enough to make decisions and make decisions around how the program would go. And I think that that was really successful as well. And that included, you know, a lot of our, we had some partners who were face to face. We had, you know, knowledge representatives within the team. And we really, you know, looked at how we could create a board that could make informed, quick decisions as we were going along the program. And I think that that really enabled us to be successful in what we were doing. Oh, and then the last thing is obviously around communications internally. You can't forget that because it's so important. How do you communicate this effectively internally in terms of what's happening, if any training's required, you know, who needs to know at what level, what are all the different, you know, updates that need to be done, et cetera, et cetera. So we had a really thorough internal communications program around it as well.
More and more, we're seeing across the board that marketing and IT need to approach their kind of working relationship as a partnership, and it's one that's kind of really integral to the strength and growth of the business, especially as we're reliant on these digital experiences. What's the secret to having a great IT and marketing relationship?
I think firstly, it's about understanding how the different processes work. Because I think historically what would happen is you'd come into marketing and you'd say, these are the digital tools that you've got to play with. IT have, you know, sourced them, they've been through procurement, and this is what you've got. So, you know, you need to work with the CRM system and you need to work with this, you know, these digital platforms and et cetera, and off you go. I think what works really well in the environment that I'm currently in is that I'm able to explain to them, you know, what is our marketing strategy? What is it that we actually need? So for example, you know, when we were looking at a digital events platform, I said, well, you know, we need something that enables us to do, you know, it needs to be branded. It needs to be able to feel like it's Clifford Chance. You know, we need to be able to do a variety of different things, etc. And then, you know, we go off together to find the suitable platform. And I think it's about understanding each other's objectives in that way that enables a great partnership, because we are then both able to talk in a very familiar way around what it is that we're trying to achieve. And I think that that has been hugely beneficial for us going forward. And it's something that we do in a really, it's an ongoing thing. It doesn't stop. We're in constant communication around these things.
Fantastic. Great tips there. Are there kind of any projects that you've worked on with your IT team and any particular approaches to your technology stack that you think have brought about great success for Clifford Chance?
Oh, gosh, all of them. It's not one I can leave out, actually. You know, whether it's bringing in the whole new, you know, the whole Adobe stack from Experience Manager to Targets to Analytics, you know, bringing that whole piece in, looking at our CRM system, looking at our email marketing systems, you know, as I said, our online event platforms. You know, they work with us in terms of, you know, our eventing platform in terms of, you know, how we digitalize the whole events piece. So not, you know, sort of invitations, QR codes, you know, access to information on the day, et cetera, that side of it. Everything that we do, we've just relooked our whole operating model in terms of, you know, how we support the technology stack that we've implemented with Adobe. They were totally involved in that. They've helped us to look at what would be the best solution around that. They're going to, you know, every step of the way, we work together to make sure that these things happen. And I think we couldn't do it as well as we have without that partnership.
Fantastic. And just some final thoughts. You know, it does sound like you and your team have had great success over this pivot to digital experiences, which is fantastic. I wondered, you know, if you had anything to share on leadership and what you think makes a good leader and any lessons you've had over your career journey as to how to lead a team, any kind of maybe leaders you've been inspired by yourself, or how you approach it with your own teams?
I think one of the biggest things that makes a good leader is somebody who actually cares and, you know, who actually believes in their team, who believes in what their team is there to do and deliver. A leader needs to be able to almost help the team to see where they're going and give them a purpose. I think that's really important, that links them together, and to facilitate a great working relationship amongst the people within that team. I think for me, those are the key things. I think, you know, during the pandemic, you know, a lot of it has been about being able to, you know, support people who are working remotely, encourage continuous collaboration, you know, making sure that people feel like they are still connected and they're still part of an actual team, and that, you know, that somebody actually cares for them and their well-being. I think that's been a huge part of this whole experience that we've been going through, is actually people really needed to feel that their well-being meant something to the organization that they worked for. And I think that's really important and will continue to be going forward. And I think in terms of great leaders that I've worked with, I think it's always been people who've been prepared to try something, push boundaries, you know, fight for doing the right thing. You know, I've been really fortunate to work with some amazing people who are creative and like to do things differently. You know, whether it was at Investec, where, you know, my managing director there allowed me to bring on a PR agency that had never worked in financial services before because they'd worked in luxury, and I knew that they would understand, you know, our clients much better than a traditional financial services PR agency. Or, you know, when I worked at Nando's, it's such a social commentary brand in South Africa. We really challenged the status quo there. And, you know, again, I was fortunate enough to work with some brave people who were prepared to, you know, put advertisements in the Sunday newspapers challenging our Minister of Health. And I think, you know, that kind of thing is great. And it doesn't always have to be a big thing. Sometimes it can be, you know, just when somebody comes to you and they say, I think that we should give this a go, is hearing them out and seeing, actually, you know what, I think that's a great idea, and supporting them in that. And I think that's what makes good leaders.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Denise, for all the insights that you've shared so far and that you've built across your career and that you're focusing on now at Clifford Chance. Before we move on to our quick fire round, which we like to use to close off every episode, were there any final thoughts or topics that we haven't covered so far that you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I think we've covered off quite a lot, haven't we, Darcy?
We have. We've covered it all. Perfect. Well, in which case, we'll move on to our quick fire round, where we like to hit you with some fast questions and get some quick answers back. My favourite question to always kick off with is asking you, what's your guilty technology pleasure?
Oh, good question. I think my guilty technology pleasure is being able to be on my phone and watch TV at the same time. And I know that sounds really strange, but I just, you know, for me, that is, you know, whether it's social media or, you know, chatting to friends or whatever, I just like to be able to do them both at the same time. So I think that would be mine.
I'm totally with you there. Give me all the distractions at once, please. So how would, in one sentence, your family describe what you do for your work, your friends describe what you do for your work, and your boss describe what you do for work?
So my boss would describe it as talking about our reputation externally. My family would describe it as not really sure what she does, but it involves a whole load of things, something to do with brand and digital and technology. And my son would describe it as being we worked on a case. It was really exciting. So he thinks that it's quite cool that I work for an exciting organization that applies to him. So so that's what he would talk about.
Fantastic. And do you have an essential desk item?
Yes, my essential desk item is my notebook. And I also have a wireless mouse, which I could not live without.
Can't cope without that. And finally, do you have a favorite quote or philosophy that you like to live by?
Not really, actually. Maybe something like go big or go home.
Nice, yeah. In work and play.
Totally.
Perfect. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Denise. I've really enjoyed our conversation and your insights. Yes, thank you so much for joining us on the CO.Digital show.
Thanks so much, Darcy. It's really been wonderful chatting to you.
And thank you so much to our listeners. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. You can obviously find us on all your favourite podcast channels. Please do rate, review and subscribe to the show. You can also see some events that we're running on similar topics around marketing, IT, and alignment and customer experience, both on CO.Digital and through our sister brand, Chief Wine Officer. Thank you for joining us.